Anybody here enjoy a wedding?
Sure.
Okay, not very many people. Okay. Let's see, I got to switch to something else, it seems. Get on board, people. You love weddings, don't you? Yes. Oh, thank God. Wow. Wow, love them. Okay. Well, that's where we're going to be today. We're going to be at a wedding with Jesus. Yikes. And actually, we're going to talk about Jesus' first miracle. You guys know what that one is, the wedding, the whole water into wine scenario. All right. This is Jesus' first miracle. You find it at the very beginning of John chapter 2. So we know we're early in John's story about Jesus. And I got to be honest, when I read this scripture this week, I was like, really, like, this miracle, if I could be honest, never really particularly stood out for me from other miracles that Jesus did. I knew it was his first one. The wedding in Cana, water into wine. Great. Awesome, Jesus. Now start doing things, in my opinion, that were much more important, you know? Like, when I think of Jesus' miracles, first one I think about is Lazarus, who's good and dead in the tomb for 3 days, and Jesus resurrects him. Mind blown, right? Miracles of Jesus. I think of Jesus feeding 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. You're kidding. That's awesome. Hungry people getting sustainment and fulfilled. Like, that's awesome. Great miracle, Jesus. I think of the lady who was bleeding, who had been bleeding for years, and just wanted to reach out and just touch the hem of his garment as he walked by, as there's multitudes of people around him. She weaved her way, made it, because she wanted healed. And she got that physical healing. So I think of those things. Water into wine isn't one of my top ones, maybe until now, after you study and look at it a little bit deeper and harder. This one seems to not have so much significance. You know, we talk about Jesus' miracles all the time, and we talk about how they were on a spiritual nature. They weren't about the physical healing, right? It was about Jesus showing who he was and what the deeper meaning on a spiritual level. All of his miracles were that. And so I was like, okay, God, show me what the spiritual meaning of this is. It's about wine, water getting turned into wine. What's the spiritual meaning here? So I challenged God, and guess what? God met the challenge. Go figure. And lucky for you, you get to sit here today and learn what I learned. Yeah. You're also about to find out the spiritual meaning of this very first miracle that is so much deeper. I titled this on Facebook, they see it, "It's Not About the Wine." Because this isn't about water being turned into wine. It's not about wine or water or wedding. Well, it kind of is, but we'll get to that in a minute. We're going to find out on a deeper level what this is all about. So let's read the story. If you don't know the story, let's read it. I mean, that's kind of a good place to start. It's usually where I start when I want to learn something about Scripture. All right, so we're in John 2. As I told you before, Jesus, just to let you know, he's just called some of his disciples, and he's going to a wedding. He's been invited to a wedding. John 2, 1 through, we're going to end at 11. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." I love her utzpah, if you will. She was like, yeah, do whatever he says. Nearby stood 6 stone water jars, the kind used for the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you... you have saved the best until now. This, the first of the miraculous signs Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee, he thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. Such a great story that has a lot of deep meaning, as I was revealed this week during prayer and study. The things that I saw that we're going to talk about today, that we learn about Jesus on a deeper level, because that's what this is all about, spiritual levels here, is that Jesus was available for his people. He was sensitive to their needs, and he was creatively helpful. He was available, he was sensitive, and he was creatively helpful. So let's break those things down, find out why these things are so important on a spiritual level. He was available. Jesus was at a wedding. The Son of God, Jesus, God with us, Emmanuel, was at a wedding. He was at a fun event, a celebration. To me, that shows that Jesus wanted to hang out with others. He was obviously fun to be around. I mean, don't you invite to weddings or big ceremonies and celebrations people that you want to hang out with, that would celebrate with you? So I think he was kind of fun to be around. He was going to be and had the mindset he was going to celebrate with this couple. And he wanted to be involved in fun. He was connected with people. He obviously got his invitation, RSVP'd, put it in the mail, or he went to thenot.com as we do now, right? Click, click. All right, how many guests are you bringing? I got 12 disciples. Here we go. He obviously planned for this. He knew that this wedding was going to happen. They were invited, Scripture tells us, and they accepted the invite. So Jesus was connected with people. He was social. In John 10:10, later John writes that Jesus says, "I've come to give them life and give it to the fullest." He wants us, and he himself shows through this example, to live life to the fullest. Jesus shows us here, in the social setting, in the social gathering, that being a Christian means that you're with people and you have a good time with them and you rejoice with them and you celebrate them with them and you grieve with them and you do all the things together as a family, as a community. I think sometimes people think, oh, Christians, we need to not be involved in that, whatever that is, or we can't be with them. He was involved with people. That was the point. That was the center of his ministry, was to be involved and available to people, even at a wedding. Christianity doesn't mean we stay home unengaged with others and other people of the world. No, it means that we're out there, we're involved, we're making connections, we're making friends, we're making relationships with other people all over the place. It doesn't matter who. Doesn't matter where they are on their faith journey, we're connecting with people. Jesus shows us that here in the story. You get that? I don't know. I'm just thinking maybe during the music he was doing the electric slide like with me. Like, you know, I mean, hey, hello, Jesus is out there like dancing and stuff. You know, right? He was social. He was with people. And he needed to be, right? To be able to minister to people, he needed to be out with people and connected with people. So that translates to us, Jesus is available for us. He's connected with us. He wants to have a relationship with us. And then also he calls us to do the same. As I was preparing this sermon, I'm like, all these things that I'm saying about Jesus and what Jesus is, we want to be like him, right? So all these characteristics we need to translate into our life. We need to be available for people. We need to be there for people. All over the place, in whatever setting it needs to be. Weddings or not, it doesn't matter. We need to be connected with people. If we're going to show people who Jesus is in us, then we have to have relationships with people. I think that's incredibly important. We can't make a difference in the lives of people if we're not connected with them. Jesus was sensitive. That was my second point. Now look, weddings at Jesus' time weren't like weddings today. Weddings in Jesus' time were long days, plural, days, events. centered around this couple, okay? It wasn't a single experience, like we go, we spend an hour at the ceremony or half an hour at the ceremony, we do the reception, and then we go home. This is like a seven-day event that happens. It was a time of true joy and celebration. To properly celebrate over this seven-day period, there was a lot of different things that went on. There was speech giving. There was food, of course, lots of it. There was gift giving. And of course, if there's a lot of food and eating, there's a lot of drinking that's happening too. And if you were at the host of the wedding, if you were the host, which were the parents of the bride and the groom, the food better be like the best food, and the wine had better not run out. It needs to be flowing forever. If you were attending, you better bring your best gift. And if anything went awry in any of these areas, you could be publicly humiliated. A wedding was all fun and games, joy and cheer, until the food ran out, or it wasn't very good, or the wine ran out, or that wine wasn't very good, or someone gave a bad gift. You could be socially outcast. And I don't say this as an exaggeration at all. This was a public social event where the best of the best, you were judged for everything that was happening and happened, especially if you were the host putting this on. It was such a serious moment that guests could actually bring lawsuits against the host. I know, right? Now you're getting me. If they weren't properly cared for. If you were an attendee of wine and if you were an attendee to the wedding and you weren't properly cared for with food, water, housing, all that stuff, you could actually sue the people that were putting on the party. Right? That's how serious this was. Disgraceful, shameful, inconsiderate, and irresponsible were some adjectives that I could think of that would explain or describe the host if any of those things happened. You got to remember, people came from a long distance a lot of times to attend this for 7 days, and they didn't have Motel 6. Isn't that the one that'll leave the light on for you? Right. They didn't have that. So they stayed in people's homes, and people were cared for with food and water and all the necessities to be able to live away from home for 7 days. Okay, so you kind of understand the seriousness now of, uh-oh, we ran out of wine. No more wine? Well, Mary says, they have no more wine? This is a serious situation. And Jesus' response was what? Not yet. It's not my time yet. It's not my time. He's saying, hold on, pump the brakes. But I don't know what kind of time lapse happened there, how Jesus came to this conclusion, but it wasn't his time, but he moved his timeline up, didn't he? He moved his timeline up because he could help these people, and he was sensitive to their needs. They could be outcast and disgraced and possibly sued if the wine ran out. So he stepped in, and he provided the miracle. He adjusted his own timeline. We can learn a huge lesson from Jesus, as I was saying before. Jesus adjusts his timeline for you and what you might need. He's not too busy for you, okay? And also, then if we want to be like that, we have to adjust our timeline sometimes when other people need ministered to or they need help. I'm too busy. I can't do that. I got to do this. I said, oh, well, maybe we're supposed to adjust our timeline to help others. We may not. Well, Jesus had a bigger mission, didn't he? It wasn't about the wine. He had a bigger mission to come and teach, die on a cross, and resurrect from the dead for our salvation, didn't he? So you'd think turning water into wine doesn't seem that big of a deal. It was at the moment to those people that were putting on this wedding, wasn't it? It was, in fact, at that time to them the most important thing. So what we may feel is not very important that somebody else might be going through is going to be, could be extremely important to them. And we need to adjust our timeline to help them out in that moment. We may not understand it. Jesus is probably like, I've come to do bigger things than this. I'm going to raise Lazarus in like 3 years from now from the dead. But okay, I'll turn your water into wine. Because it was important to them at the time. And Jesus knows what's important to you, and he'll meet you there. And then we have to do the same thing in helping others, moving our timelines, doing what we can, sacrificing what we need to in our lives to help somebody else, if that's what we're called to do. If we're called and we're the ones who can help with the problem, that's where Jesus was. He moved his timeline. And something that hit me this morning as I was here and I was reading the scripture one more time before we did band practice. I don't know if it fits in this point, but I'm going to say it anyway. This is where I put it. Jesus didn't even take the credit for this. Did you notice that? They didn't even know. The master of the banquet didn't even know where this wine came from. So Jesus is off to the side. He did his thing. Everything's fine. These people are not socially outcast. They're not going to be judged. They're not going to be talked about for years about that horrible wedding that they put on. And Jesus doesn't say, oh, it was me. I did it. I did that. People knew, but Jesus wasn't the one raising his hand. He humbly helped. That's also something that just hit me when I was reading that this morning. As we help people, we adjust our timelines. We don't need to go telling other people about it. We just do what we're supposed to do. Go on our merry way. And be glad that God was in the midst of whatever happened and they're all okay. All right, then the last thing here, Jesus helped in a creative way. He knows each of us intimately and uniquely. Do you know that? Do you know that?
Yes.
Okay, I'm just making sure you're awake still too. But he doesn't ever go about providing solutions for people all in the same way. He meets us in our unique needs because we're all so different. And we're all so unique in our lives and what's happened in our pasts and all this stuff. The way he talks and moves to all of us is a beautiful thing to see, and it's also different. Come to a Bible study Wednesday mornings at 10 o'clock and Wednesday evenings at 7. And you can, I think that's like 3 or 4 sermons in a row, I plugged that. But you can then hear stories from other people about how Jesus impacted their life, and it's so different from how Jesus impacts your own. It's great. He meets us in our own unique, creative ways. He has to be creative at times to minister to us. And he was creative in this time, right? I can see Jesus like looking around like, okay. And I called him the MacGyver of miracles. Like, you know how MacGyver would like stop a pipe bomb with like a piece of gum and a string or something? I don't know. I didn't watch the show much, but I knew the premise, right? And Jesus is looking around and he's like, let's see what I got here. I got some empty vessels over here, water. Okay, I can work with this. I can work with this. He worked with it, didn't he? He saved the reputation of 2 families with 7 empty jars that were suddenly filled with water. And not only, I love this part of the story too. Not only was it creative, but it was the best, right? It was recognized as the best stuff. Most people, as we read in scripture, most people get rid of the good stuff at the beginning, and then when people don't know what they're drinking, they've got the not so good stuff, right? No, not this. This was good stuff. The wedding attendees and the host, boy, they did not see this coming, I'm quite sure. But that's how God works, isn't it? He's creative and boom, wow, okay. Look what he did. That's cool. He took this and this and made that and fixed that problem and moved in that person's life. How amazing. He meets us with our unique needs and our unique situations. I want you to know that. Whatever your situation is or whatever your need is, he's going to meet you. You may say there is possibly no way that Jesus can take this and this and make something good out of it. He can. He absolutely can, and he will. And then, of course, if we want to be like Jesus, we need to do the same thing. Sometimes we, as we're helping and ministering to others, have to think outside the box. We have to also be creative. Don't look at things and say, nope, I can't do anything, I can't help it. At least pray. Be creative to be able to minister to other people. Let's use our imagination, just like Jesus used his, to turn that water into wine. for this family. Or families, I should say. So, we see that Jesus is available. We see that he was sensitive to the cultural needs, especially what was going on in society. And then he was creatively helpful. And he performed this miracle that touched people more deeply. And as I summarized earlier, it's not about the wine at all. Do you see that? It's about all the stuff around that. And Jesus being involved with people. Such a deep meaning this miracle does when you really look into it. At the end of the passage of Scripture in verse 11, John writes that the miracle revealed Jesus' glory and the disciples believed. That's why I wanted to read all through verse 11. Jesus was glorified, John writes. But how? I got to think, he was glorified. That's a lot of religious terminology. What that means is Jesus showed who he was through this miracle, but it wasn't about the water into wine. It was about who he was as a person, and he came to meet our needs, that he came to meet us where we were. He came to be available to us. He came to be sensitive to our needs, and then he came to be creative in helping us. It was about people, not about the water and the wine, but about the people that he served. That's how he was glorified. The disciples didn't start believing in Jesus because he turned the water into wine. They started believing in Jesus because of who he was to the people at that time and how he loved them. That's how he was glorified through this miracle. And then look what happens. These disciples who he just newly called, we're in chapter 2 of John, okay? He just called these guys, and now they're like, oh, I'm getting on board with this. I believe this. Jesus came to us because of his love for us. And the ultimate glorification of Jesus being glorified was on the cross. His death, his burial, and then his resurrection. That's the ultimate. But throughout these miracles, we see little glimpses of him being glorified. And what he came for was for us. Today, I really hope you understand through this story that sometimes I overlook, maybe you do too, I don't know, I don't want to put that on you, but I overlook this miracle. But through this miracle, I see how much Jesus loves me. Do you see how much Jesus loves you? Do you know that you're important to Jesus and all the things that are important to you are important to him as well? Do you know that Jesus intends on meeting you where you are for whatever you need, and he's there for you? He's available for you at all times, 24/7, 365? And then he'll be creative and figure out a way to help you in whatever way that is. That's the kind of Savior we have in Jesus. That's the kind of person Jesus was, that he showed us through this miracle of turning the water into wine. And then, of course, my call to action for you is not to just recognize that Jesus is all of those things to you. And if you need that, you need to just call on him. He's available and sensitive, and he's creatively helpful. He'll take care of you. But then also, if we want to be like Jesus, we need to be that exact same thing in our world to the people that are around us, in this church, in our families, in our communities, at our work, whatever it is, wherever you run into people. Because we're supposed to be social and out there and connecting with people like Jesus was. We need to be all these things, available, sensitive, creatively helpful to others. We also, just like Jesus, put people at the center of his life and of his ministry, we got to do the exact same thing. It's all about people. The miracle, folks, is not about the wine. It's about the guy who knew how important that wine was to these families and the guests and was willing to help with some empty jars and some ordinary water make things happen for them. That's the kind of Savior we have. That's the kind of Savior we worship. That is who Jesus is. And that then is who we're called to be when we go out into this world. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for this message. Thank you for the lessons within this scripture, God. Help us to understand the deeper spiritual meanings here, God, and there's a lot of them. I praise you. I give you all the praise that you are that Savior who is available for us, that knows what we're going through, that could come up with solutions for us. God, help us to just follow your guidance and direction. We're grateful that you came in human form so you know what we're going through, so then you can help us through these things. And God, what a great, beautiful, loving Savior we have in you, in Jesus. Help us to lean on that and understand really at the base of all of it, God, help us to really realize how loved we are as Jesus shows through all of his miracles, but especially this one. The one that really seems to me not really matter. Who cares about water into wine? Well, guess what? There were a lot of people who did. And the social implications you were there to meet for these people. Help us to truly understand that and how deep your love is for us. We're grateful for the scripture. We're grateful for this time that we can come and worship together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.